satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 209, Stuff and Things.
Things and Stuff.
So, I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
Shiva is off tonight. She's not feeling up to snuff, unfortunately.
So, yeah, well, I'm glad she's not up to snuff, because I don't want to die.
God, I need to look up the origin of that expression, I guess. By the way, Snuffers is a terrible name for a restaurant, which we have here locally. Like, I don't know. I don't want to eat somewhere and then snuff it.
Yeah. Snuffer Shack. Sounds like, well, in Shadowrun, there's Stuffer Shack.
Oh.
It's basically the generic Walmart equivalent of the 27 or the 2170s.
Uh-huh.
Or 2070s. And they have everything. Guns, ammunition. Just have to go down the right aisle and look for the right thing.
Huh. So I was thinking we could just discuss news and current events or something like that.
Yeah. Been a lot going on.
Yeah.
In the quote real world and here in the furry world.
So today I got extremely lucky.
Okay.
So I was on my way home from work, and I'm on the train, and the power goes out on the train. And that's not actually a major concern. It's happened occasionally before. It usually clicks right back on. But, you know, lights went out, air conditioner stopped humming, and it lasted longer than normal this time. And the train coasts powerless into my train station, my stop, right? Where they stop and they open the doors. And I'm like, I just hope the fucking doors open. Okay, great. The doors open. I get outside. I smell a burning smell. I'm like, I wonder if there's more going on than the usual just click on and off
click
thing.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Everything is on fire.
So
no.
I get back to my car. And by the time I'm in my car driving out of the train station, I look behind me. Train is still there. Later on, I checked the dark Twitter account, and they're like, power shortage near this station, and we're now running north and southbound trains on the same track and just switching them at the switching yard. So everything is delayed and fucked up. So I'm like, wow. It coasted in under momentum into the stop that I got off at, and then completely fucked.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is Friday afternoon. The last thing I want to do is be stuck on a train or have to get off at a different stop and have to have somebody come pick me up or bus and fuck around. So I was just like, oh, I really lucked out.
Yeah.
So I was a happy camper.
This week, I mean, I scheduled my sleep thing, so get to go have that done.
Oh, good. When are you having that done?
13th.
Cool.
So I can have my sleep study and maybe not die in my sleep.
Yeah.
And yay.
Have it done before Fiesta.
Yeah. That'll really help if I have more energy after using this thing.
Yeah.
You know.
You generally do have a little bit more energy, and your partner will sleep better. I don't know about yours, but Tyrion got into a habit of elbowing me or nudging me or shoving me at certain points, like, because he always stays up later than I do.
Yeah.
So before I had my snoring under control, he wouldn't be able to get to sleep because I would be just lying there, just sawing wood, you know. And he would fucking elbow me, and I would snort and grunt and roll over for a minute. And I would stop snoring just long enough for him to get to sleep. But now it's not a problem. I got used to the machine, and it's all good. You know, I put vodka in the humidifier just to give me a little extra buzz when I'm good. No, not really. I actually don't even know what that would do.
Vodka and some painkillers and...
Vodka fumes right into your lungs. I imagine that would probably be fatal.
It'd probably burn.
Now that I think about it, it might just be fatal. Oh, nice.
What? Panther has shown Fuzz a message and he didn't read it, so clearly...
Sharing Saverin's shame with me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
You wake Panther up because your cock is so huge, and when you're laying there, it just starts slapping against your belly like a stallion.
What?
And the wet, meaty sounds wake him up.
Again.
It's on the wall.
No, see, he's totally not showing me it, and...
And now he's, like, writing me a novel.
Yeah.
On there.
Panther, you were no fun.
So, while we're waiting for his composition to be ready.
Yeah.
Speaking of novels, I wanted to chat about this on the show because this is like a developing story today.
Yeah.
So, have you heard about the MCA Hogarth Space Marine situation?
Yeah, that was real weird.
So... To catch the listeners up briefly, MCA Hogarth, Maggie Hogarth, is a furry author, also writes some kind of mainstream stuff as well, who had an ebook on Kindle called Spots the Space Marine. And Games Workshop sent a trademark infringement request thingy to Amazon, claiming that they owned the trademark on the term Space Marine. So Amazon, like much like YouTube and a lot of big companies, whenever they get any kind of DMCA like that, they just automatically comply. They don't look into it. They don't research it. They don't talk to a lawyer. They just fucking shut the shit down. So they took her book offline. And she's like, what the fuck? And then found out about this. But the term Space Marine has been around since the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
In mainstream sci-fi.
The DMCA is one of those laws that needs to go away.
Yeah, and this is, like, so apparently Games Workshop actually does have a trademark on the term in the area of gaming, but they've started to publish original fiction based on their Warhammer 40K universe.
Yeah, but...
So now they're trying to apply their trademark to books as well. And I guess if nobody trademarked it first, then, you know, they can do that. But it's kind of bullshit. And so the case needs to be made that it's a term that was established 70, 80 years ago. It has a long track record of showing up in various media in connection with science fiction. And it's a common use term at this point that you can't fucking trademark a common use term like that. But what was really cool is that, you know, she blogged about this, she put it out on Twitter, and then word started to spread. And some well-known authors started retweeting it. Cory Doctorow, John Scalzi, I think Neil Gaiman linked to it as well. I'm not reading that. It depends on the usage of it also. No. If you want to be in on this debate, grab a mic and get on the podcast.
You can be the super secret guest.
Yes, you could be the super secret guest, not Saverin's boyfriend. Totally won't give away your dark secret. But so she got a lot of retweets, which was cool. And then it blew up even bigger than that. So there were articles about this on the BBC, Huffington Post. The Wikipedia article for Space Marines was edited to include this trademark infringement controversy in there. And more than just a shitload of websites linked this. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation got involved as well. And through all this pressure and media around it, Amazon basically reversed course and put her book back online, which is now selling really well. because of all those publicity. So for the time being, at least, she is the author, is the victor in this, because mm-hmm. she's gotten her name out there a lot now for not a bad reason. I mean, not like any fuck, because people can become famous, but for really infamous, stupid reasons, mm-hmm. you know. And her book is selling really well. So this is definitely a short-term gain for her. Could it be a long-term gain for her as an author, just becoming yeah. more well-known? Of course, there's no firm legal decision on this yet, because this whole time Games Workshop has been completely silent.
Yeah.
And they do not engage media, is basically their policy. So they don't respond to controversy or anything like that. So we'll have to wait and see if they bring this up in court, if they proceed to try and push this trademark thing on other people or organizations. So it's not 100% settled yet. But for now, you know, basically the entire internet has taken her side, and yeah. her book is back online and able to be sold on Amazon.
But well,
it's really, it's an interesting case, and it's kind of funny that it's one of our own, basically, is like kind of under the national spotlight right now with her writing, which is really kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important battle to be involved in, you know, and apparently this company, Games Workshop, which I'm not 100% familiar with because I don't game, but apparently they have kind of a history of bullying people with trademark issues and stuff like yeah. that. And they're kind of dicks, or so I hear. So that's basically what you've... that cover all the bases there?
Yeah, pretty much. This kind of bullshit leads into another topic that I think we should discuss. I was
hoping you were going to discuss this, actually.
The podcaster guy. Right? Have you heard about that shit?
No.
There is a company...
I thought you were going to talk about Main Six.
I'll talk about them in a minute, too.
Okay.
That is going around suing podcasters for copyright infringement because they claim ownership of an obscure, very vague patent of how to disseminate podcasts.
Well, like they're trying to patent the RSS feed or something like that?
Earlier today, news spread of the company that sued Apple back in 2011 is back again. Lawsuit from Ace Broadcasting. Uh-huh. The company Personal Audio LLC filed an intellectual property patent suit against How Stuff Works, Togi Entertainment, Ace Broadcasting Company, which is the official company of the Adam Carolla Show, mm-hmm. and they were all filed in Texas Eastern District Court.
Oh my God, that infamous district.
Seriously, that judge needs to be fucking removed. That's that
This American Life's patent troll episode. The whole episode was the shit about that court in East Texas. And in mm-hmm. Marshall, I think it is. It's in yeah. Marshall.
The serious sites are seen being sued for a patent infringement filed by Personal Audio LLC, created by Jim Logan. The patent, system for disseminating media content for presenting episodes in a serialized sequence, which were filed in 2009 and given patent on February 7, 2012. They're based on patents that were filed for radio and television in 96. The company itself filed for LLC before they went after companies, assuming they wanted protection so they wouldn't lose their houses if they lost. They have also sued Apple, SiriusXM, Kobe Electronics, and Arcos. The company has sued Apple a series of four times, suing Samsung, RIM, Motorola Mobility, HTC, and LG. There's also a lawsuit against Amazon. And so far, they've actually gotten $8 million from Apple.
Oh my God, they actually won something.
The company, who claims they're pioneers of playlists and podcasting, has licensed their technology with many of the companies they sued. What does this mean for podcasting? These patents are more segmented podcasting and being able to navigate their shows. Podcasts themselves are not at risk at this time, so go ahead and continue to podcast. But cunts being cunts, here you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a single dude who picked up a patent that was vague as shit and decided to go after. People like this need to be assassinated.
But he actually got $8 million out of Apple for this. How the fuck?
Because it's easier for them to settle and tell him to go away. then
Apple has more money than the United States government. They just need to hire a dude to go and cap this asshole.
Yeah,
that they would have been cheaper than $8 million.
Yeah, $50,000. No, tell a fanboy here's a gun and a prototype Apple product that's yours if you can complete the job.
The eye gun.
The eye gun.
They're not called bullets. They're apps.
I'm installing these apps into your cranium, sir. Please hold still. The apps have been installed.
If they come back to life. Oh, shit. They need to update.
And that's... But yeah, another copyright bullshit. And this is really...
This is trademark bullshit, but yeah. It's to me, I don't even give a shit. Copyright, patent, trademark,
IP.
It all comes down to cunts being cunts at this point.
Yeah.
Speaking of cunts, lay it on me.
Cunt,
put it on me.
Giant meaty what? there's been in development since season one of My Little Pony. A group of fighting game enthusiasts, working under the group name Main Six, have been building through Fighting Game Maker a My Little Pony fighting game. And it has been in development since season one. Season three is coming to an end. And it has finally neared completion.
They finished their last pony.
Yeah, apparently. The last character, Fluttershy, was
saved the best for last.
At completion. They'd released her music, they'd released her stage theme, everything was ready to go. And as of, 2 hours ago, they received a C&D from Hasbro.
Yeah.
After 3 years, almost, and thousands of dollars for breast cancer research, they decided to C&D them now.
That's the real kick in the balls to me, is that, like, these poor fuckers put in 3 years of development time on what looks to be a really solid, professional-looking game, which they have always said they were never going to make any money off of. They were not going to sell it. It was going to be a free download.
They didn't accept donations or anything on their site. It was no advertising, nothing.
And they let this go for 3 years. They're right on the verge of saying it's done and releasing it, and now they get the fucking C&D.
Yeah.
And
I just think they should be like, all right, well, we've made no money, we have no assets. Here, you know, I'm a pony. If I had a finger, it'd be the middle one, you know, and throw it up on Pirate Bay, because fuck them.
Yeah.
It's...
And it's not like their game in development hasn't been leaked before. It happened by accident
and the thing
a
is,
year ago.
And I can probably guarantee you that, you know, this happened after the
Evo thing.
Evo breast cancer thing. Okay, so Evolution Fighting Game Championship takes place every year in Vegas. It's in June. It is the world championship for a whole bunch of tournament scenes that come together, and there's lots of money involved. And they had 7 games on the main stage this year. But they were decided their eighth game that would have a tournament on the main stage would be up to the fans. Basically, the fans were having to raise money for their game to be on stage.
And whoever raised the most got to be the eighth spot. Okay. So, and all the money raised went to breast cancer.
To like the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation or something like that. Okay. One of those
big organizations. Cool.
Yeah. And... You know, Main Six was included in the slate of games. There were like 14 or so on the running against their wishes, first of all. And then they backed off. They didn't suggest this. They were like, no, we don't want the visibility. They got included anyway. Because they thought it'd be funny, I guess.
Well, they'd been on a high profile kind of tournament thing previously, and they
had a tournament at Canterlot Gardens.
No, no, no. There was another big thing where they were stream. You were showing me it. They were streamed live and everything. And
yeah, they did a big deal where they streamed for like 2 hours.
Not at Camelot Gardens, dude. This was like an actual.
That was at Evo last year.
Okay, all right. So,
yeah, the Evo stream, they had a side stream where they were streaming Fighting Against Magic and letting people play.
Okay.
That using the Evo build that had four characters.
Right.
And so, yeah. They only ever got six characters completed, but the animation was really good. Mm-hmm. And it's just a real kick in the balls because, you know, the pony community is really at this weird crossroads because Hasbro has been slapping down fan content right and left.
Yeah.
You know, furry doesn't have that problem because the shit we do over here, nobody gives a fuck about.
It's a lot of our shit is fan created. Or random furry created characters and worlds.
Yeah, anyway. we don't play with IPs very much, but it's, you know, but the pony community has had a lot of instances lately where, you know, a bridge series, fan parody series, shit like that gets nuked off of YouTube and mm-hmm. anywhere else, video hosting sites.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the main six thing, you've got just huge mm-hmm. amounts of fan content, people that, you know, that's been on the net for a long time, all of a sudden just bam, 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 so, bam.
I was listening to a pony podcast that pointed out, interestingly, and it might have been one that you're familiar with, was that all this shit Sunday being taken off of YouTube and Google Play just added My Little Pony to Google Play, where you can purchase and watch episodes on Android devices. Well,
I mean, I understand.
And since they own YouTube now, they have all that shit. So it's in their best
but I'm going to say there's a big difference between an abridged series and a fan series,
than
the episodes. I mean, I agree that the episodes don't need to be put up there because either watch it or buy it, you cheap fuck, or it's on. It's seriously on their website on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, go watch it on Hub World. Yeah, you got to deal with ads. It's a fact of life, but you're watching it legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
But, and I guess, it's an automated thing that takes out shit like Friendship is Witchcraft because it scans and it sees the scene from the opening and everything and knocks it out, but they've tried to appeal it and they've tried to get it
they've
put
been
back
told
up.
No.
And they've been told, fuck you. Pony fag, go away. So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. Because I'm not like a huge gamer, but I was actually kind of looking forward to Fighting His Magic. Because it looked fun, it looked cute, it looked well made. I was looking forward to going feather to feather with you. Fluttershy V, Rainbow Dash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's an instance of a company not being caught up with the times.
Mm.
And I think a lot of it is, this is how the internet works. And then
a lot of old big corporations
are
probably going to fall into that category.
Well,
surprised as hell that the brony community has gotten as much consideration from the company at all. But most of that was like that the Hub Network liked bronies, and the animation company that was making the show liked bronies.
But
Hasbro itself,
like, go away.
Is like, we don't want anything to do with this weird craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that they put their foot down once shit kind of got too much trouble to handle, and that's why you don't see Derpy in season 3. I bet the animation company, DHX, probably got the fucking SmackDown or the ultimatum delivered to, put this character in here anymore.
Even don't let people put their own characters on the show, like their OCs.
Yeah.
Like, one of the animator or storyboarders had her character inserted in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, that same character was featured almost fully in the episode, in an episode, and then Hasbro made them change that like last second.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that particular storyboarder, to me, she's dumb as a box of hammers. Because seriously, I'm not speaking for Savern on this. This is my rant. You don't put your own personal character into and a project that you're working on that's not your personal faggotry, basically. And the other, you know, she's gone to bat for fans that were being made fun of. She's stuck her toe into internet argument bullshit issues that she doesn't need to. And everyone knows that she works for DHX, that she's a storyboardist. And it's like, if you're publicly affiliated with a company, you don't come out and get involved in petty internet arguments on 4chan. It's just...
It
sheds a light on your company. I mean, if you're on there and it says, and you're saying, yeah, I work for this company, then you're inadvertently representing your company on social media. And I'm really surprised that she hasn't had her hand slapped for that, or that the appointed social media person at DHX, because most companies have one, hasn't come in and said, look, you don't fucking talk about this shit on your public Twitter, you know?
Well, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, Hasbro was old and intractable. I highly doubt they'll do anything other than shrug and move on to their day. Yeah. It is just a matter of current of internet culture versus old corporate culture. And it doesn't work very well. I mean, hell, the argument's been made that this actually goes into something else. About how that really masturbatory documentary of theirs.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The Brony doc, right?
Yeah.
So $322,000 was crowdfunded from the pony community, right? And instead of paying themselves, they decided to expand the scope. And then when the sales weren't good, they blamed piracy, and then... like, take all the basically take the uncut footage, the footage that wasn't in the doc, every 100 hours or whatever of video, and just bin it. They're like, yeah, we were going to make this super special thing, but because we're going to throw the straw man of piracy out there, not that we didn't make a product, not that we might didn't make a product that anybody outside the pony community gave half a shit about.
They've handled that really badly, and I think it's because it's like, it's not a big studio, it's John Delancey and like one producer that are doing it, and like when the producer gets on there and like threatens to sue a 14-year-old or something, it's like, come on, guys, really? I mean, you don't see like the official fucking Paramount account getting on there and threatening to sue people, you know, directly like that. It's just
like... Amazon just told me they were going to eat my lungs.
It's like, A, the pony community came out of 4chan, and you know how much they are not into piracy. B, you released it in digital format in 2012. It's like, or did it come out this year?
DRM-free digital format.
Yeah, you know... everything gets pirated to a certain degree, and you released a DRM-free video format. What the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Even better. They were basically like, yeah, we'd really appreciate it if you didn't do this. Thanks.
Yeah. But also, the average age of the Brony fandom is way younger than the furry fandom. They skew way young. So yeah, you're going to have 13, 14, 15-year-olds that want to see this, and they don't have $12.99 and daddy's credit card to legitimately buy it, of course they're going to fucking torrent it.
Well, I mean, not even that. I mean, the people
I'm not saying it's good or right or moral. I'm saying it happens. And if you make a movie and you don't expect that to happen, you're living in a dream.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not just the people like that. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that some backer uploaded it to Pirate Bay, because it happened really quick. But, you know, you have to kind of take... that's part of doing business in 2012. You're going to have to expect a certain level of piracy. And, you know, the people that see it and buy a copy, okay, cool. The people that don't see it, don't find $12.99 of value in it. Well, that happens. I mean,
Have you got a copy?
No, I don't. And I haven't seen it.
Fuck. I might end up buying it then. So I want to watch it with you. And then I want to watch it again with the GCC commentary track.
I bet I could arrange that.
So, because that would probably be fun. But everything I've heard about it has not been positive. You know, the like you said, it's very masturbatory and back patty. And this is a community that apparently needed 90 minutes to show the world that, yay, we are awesome. And I want to slap the shit out of any furry that ever suggests this, because it's come up a couple of times. And luckily, it has been some furry in grad school in media studies that wants to make like a 25-minute documentary with his handheld camera or something like that. And I'm like, great. No one will ever see this or hear about it. It'll slip underground and die like a diseased raccoon under a porch. And I will never have to hear about it again. But oh my God, furries have never raised over $300,000 to back a documentary to give the 100% one-sided position of we are all awesome and this is why. And like, yes, I believe that furries are awesome. But no, I don't need a documentary. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know,
I don't need a documentary to be like, all right, we're going to follow the daily life of John Q. Foxfag, the furry of Northern Virginia, as he's suddenly abused because he has anthro foxes and giant yiff emblazoned on his rear window, and suddenly rednecks smash it.
Yeah, apparently that's one of the stories.
Yeah, the guy replaced
Foxfag with Cutie Mark or whatever. But
yeah, he had like Cutie Mark all over his car, and dumb rednecks do.
Mm-hmm. Which ain't right and it ain't cool.
No, it's not. But I mean, but
at the same time, if you live in fucking Redneckville, you know, you keep your sexuality hidden and you don't put anything unmanly on your truck.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
there's a certain level of
as much as we would love to say that there should be free expression and art shouldn't be constrained, but there's a time and a place. And if you're living in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, yeah, perhaps that's not the place.
And, you know, I have found happiness in the show. Like, I enjoy watching the show, and it makes me feel happy and lighthearted. And I used to feel like this all the time with animation. I would get out of an animated movie, and I would just feel this sort of lightness in my step, because it's a very kind of freeing experience watching cartoon, and it's enjoyable. But I haven't really latched on to bronyism, which they're trying to make into a word.
Oh, man. They're a cult.
As a kind of way of life, you know. Yeah. Total Kool-Aid drinking, sing-along stuff.
The thing is, I mean, that's like in the furry community, there's the perception of, you know, oh, God, we're all a bunch of carpet-wearing horse fuckers. You know, we all have fursuits and we all mongol dogs. And it's...
Come here, Sharper, I'm going to mongol you. What the fuck does that mean?
I'll explain later. But
after hours.
Not cast after dark. But that's
it's
not
a lot like not cast before dark.
I know, right? But the thing is that it's not true.
Right.
And anybody claiming like that would be an idiot, because a lot of people in the furry community are just fans of the stuff.
Yeah.
They don't think it's spiritual. They don't think it's a part of who they are. It's just a thing they like. And that's perfectly acceptable and totally fine. And that's the thing I think a lot of people take exception with. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're a pony fan and they don't agree, like, this doesn't represent me. I'm just a guy that likes animation who also likes Adventure Time and Regular Show and Gumball and, you know, various anime, but also like watching things like Burn Notice and Person of Interest, and I have a varied slate, and it's just one aspect. You know, it's like, it's not really a fair statement.
Mm. You know? It just, like, that's why I'm like, it's totally going too far to get a cutie mark tattoo. You know, it's like, it's a TV show. It's been on for 3 years and you are taking it on like a religion. It's like, I'm glad it brings you joy, but
have you heard the word of Celestia? No, I'm sorry. This is the Lunar household. Thank you.
I just imagine one day, you know, he'll be in a bathhouse selling his ass for $20 and someone will really enjoy slapping at Rainbow Dash cutie mark as they plow him. I just have this really dim outlook for anyone that would do something like that.
Only if they got matching ones on either side.
Fuck yeah.
You grab them,
right? Give you something to hang on to, you know?
Yeah.
My cutie mark looks like a handle because you can just grip it and hold on. Oh, man. But, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I enjoy the show. I enjoy the fandom.
It's not a cult.
To an extent. I don't go way far into it. I mean, my God, I don't do a whole fucking podcast about it like some losers. Oh, hey, Zavern, buddy.
Who would do that?
Yeah, who the fuck would do that? That Chef Sandy guy, he cares a little too much.
That's right. Tell you what.
Speaking of which, do you want to talk about your thing with the thing in the nightmare?
No.
The thing? No, oh, come on. Put it out there. Whip out your importance, cock.
I'm not.
Slap it on the podcast.
No.
That's good meaty slap. Sounds.
Oh, no. I'll have flyers at Fiesta.
Okay. Hey, kids, come by the Four Planet table. I'll tell you about it after. So, my big news. Speaking of Four Planet, really ham-fisted segue in there. You know, normally you're more ham-fisted.
Ham?
I put two new items on active on the store today. Heretic by Rukus, written and illustrated by Rukus, and Initiated, which is a comic illustrated by fucking everybody.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's Rukus and Myenia and Sidiad, covered by Blotch, you know, and it's just all sex, gay and straight. It's great. It's good stuff. Heretic is a really, really good novel. I really enjoyed it, and I was just reading it. I was the last pass on it to do typo proofing, basically. And it's a prequel to her Red Lantern webcomic. It's all about the character of Luther, and it's just really, really fucking good. Okay, so we had a minor little blip in the recording there. I was talking about Heretic being a prequel to Red Lantern, talks about Luther's life
being quote-unquote good shit.
Did I say good shit?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good shit. Because, I mean, I don't get to read everything that Four Planet publishes. Tyrion reads some of it, I read some of it, but we just have such a volume of stuff that I have to keep reading new shit as it comes in. So this is, you know, just one of the ones I've happened to read and do a proofing pass on. And I just really, really enjoyed it. Because, I mean, you know, as a publisher, not everything may be up your alley, you know. We may publish kinks that I don't personally share and shit like that. But this story it definitely appealed to me. And Rukus just acted, we've joked about this, that she accidentally a novel.
Yeah, and she kind of did.
She started posting these kind of little story excerpts on her Fur Affinity, and people really responded well to it, so she just kept going with it. And I think I remember the total right, that we were originally talking to her about publishing it, and it was like, oh, I don't think it'll be enough here for an actual book. Well, maybe I could make it a novella or something like that. Yeah, she ended up writing 147,000 words.
Nice.
Which actually makes it one of our longer novels now. So it's pretty damn thick. It's got a lot of illustrations in it because, of course, she can illustrate it herself. And I was just like, she is just too damn talented. Yeah. You know, she just fucking whipped this thing out. Never written a book before, and it's really, really good. Yeah. So I'm totally stoked about it. I'm super excited about it. The other big project I'm pretty excited about that I don't know if I've mentioned on the show before is that Anta's Unigan book. Did I mention that?
No, on the show? I think you mentioned it last week. Maybe.
I'm not sure, but Anta from Hard Blush did this hardcover book project based on his Unigan race that he made up, which are like these dragon unicorn things. I guess I forget what they're actually are. But he basically, yeah, he raised funds on Offbeater, which is like an adult version of Kickstarter, to have this massive print run done. Really, really nice quality, full color, glossy stock, hardcover.
Yeah.
Super nice. And we're doing all the order fulfillment for the backers of the project on Offbeater. Mm-hmm. And then we're handling all the distribution for it and going to be taking it to cons, selling it on our website. We're going to ship him a couple box of twos because he's going to be at a con in Canada in early March. I think it's Vernal Equinox.
Sounds like it.
I'm not sure. I think it is, yeah. But there's a con in Canada early next month. Anta will be there. Selling this book, so you know, totally check that out. After I get all of the backer orders out, we'll have it on for Planet for sale as well. So we got a lot of good shit going on for Planet right now. It's only February and we've released like a bunch of cool shit.
Don't you already have, do you have any releases for Fiesta?
I'm not 100% sure. We're waiting on cover artwork for one of them. Siani's next novella is called Tangled Up in Knots, KNOTZ, and Knots is an app like Grindr.
Okay.
In the furry universe, the main character is a fox, and he's using this Knots app and kind of navigating the occasional hookups, and then he gets the guy that he starts to have feelings for, and oh my god, am I going to have an adult relationship now for the first time in my life,
or am I just
going
to be a fox,
right? You know, or both. Spoilers, the answer is both, but no. There's going to be plenty of foxing in this.
I have no doubt.
Yes. So that's the next one that is almost at completion. We also have a new novel by Phil Goish that we're hoping to get out for Fiesta. And is anything else? Probably a couple of that. I can't think right now. It's been really busy lately. And I've had a lot of business stuff to do lately, lots of paperwork and everything. So
yeah.
But you know, keep an eye on my For Planet Twitter and stuff like that, and I'll definitely put it out there. But
yeah, the
this year is going to be nuts because we added it up and we already had on our list number of projects right around what we published last year. And of course, that's not it. And we knew that before going into 2013. And that's not counting stuff that we pull out of the slush pile or that we get approached by interested parties.
Stuff you don't know about yet.
Shit I don't know about yet. Yeah, like, we have the known knowns, and we know that there are certain known unknowns out there doing the whole Rumsfeld thing. I don't know if you remember that from, like, 5 years ago. His whole speech about Iraq. Ah, whatever. Political humor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we're looking at publishing even more than we did last year, and last year was insane. So really, really busy. Lots of good shit.
No, I mean, that's better than, oh man, there's nothing going on.
Yeah, and to think, my main concern with Fur Planet when I took it over was, oh god, am I going to be able to keep finding enough new material to publish to have new shit out every Anthrocon? And now we have so much new stuff that comes out at more than just Anthrocon. Like, nearly every con we go to, we have something new at.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I have the opposite problem now, is just keeping up with everything. So it's great. Oh, so you posted the other day, it's like, oh my god, we Knotcast's 5-year anniversary soon.
Yep.
So I officially took over for Planet March 2008. So Tieran and I will be hitting our 5-year anniversary of owning for Planet in a couple months. Actually, in a month.
Very cool.
So, like, shit, it's been 5 years, man. It's been, it doesn't feel like 5 years have passed for either doing the show, doing Fiesta, doing for Planet.
No, man. Yeah. It's and I'm like, man, what are we going to do for our birthday episode? I mean, it's our live show.
Man, we'll have to have a cake made in the shape of a cock that will post on for Affinity, and it will end up on, like, FA Horrors or something like that. And people will be like, oh, fucking fur fags. And we'll be all like, ha, 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 ha.
Cake.
Yeah. Maybe I will, instead of doing the unboxing of the Rainbow Vag toy, God, I will just have a cake made to look like Rainbow's vagina. And you can stick your face in it and eat that bitch out in front of our live studio audience.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Only at Furry Fiesta 2013. Be there or you're fucked.
Oh, man. I'm like on a fucking tightrope, let me tell you.
Come on. Put it out there in public. Let your pony freak flag fly high.
I really can't.
It's just, it's almost funny watching you squirm. So I'll be going to a new con this year.
Which one would that be?
So I'm going to a new con. It's in November. It's in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to this con once before, but I haven't been in a couple of years. I have to go back to Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah.
Which is going to really upset my sister, because Chicago TARDIS is always the weekend of Thanksgiving. And I'll have to be like, sorry, bitch. Ain't doing Thanksgiving.
You're like, I'm sorry. I love Paul McGann more than I love you.
Actually, this year, this is so awesome. I have met doctors 5, 7, and 8 and had my picture taken with all of them. And the reason I'm going back this year is finally, number 6, Colin Baker is going to be at Chicago TARDIS. The last time he was supposed to be at a con in the States was Hurricane Who a couple years ago down in Orlando. And they completely fell apart. Like, their con chair, something, I don't know, somebody was crooked. They didn't pay the hotel bill. They had to cancel the con. It basically all fell apart.
Yeah.
And now Colin is finally back at Chicago TARDIS. And Nicola Bryant, who played Perry, is also there. So I could totally...
Damn it, Perry!
I could totally get my 80s groove Sixth Doctor Perry fan geek-gasm on and get my picture taken with both of them. They're also going to have Fraser Hines is going to be there, who played Jamie in the Second Doctor era. I met him once before, years ago, when he was up there with Peter Davison. And Louise Jameson is also going to be there. And Louise Pitt played Leela in the 1970s. Remember the Savage with the leather and like the knife strapped to her hip?
Yeah,
and
stuff? Yeah.
Tom Baker companion. So she's going to be there too. And Terry Molloy, one of the guys that played Davros, is going to be there as well.
Nice.
So it's actually quite a big cluster. Of course, the highlight for me is definitely meeting one of the doctors that I have not met yet.
Of course.
So that's going to be, well, awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so Iron Man 3, that's coming up this year. Wasn't Star Trek. The reason I was going earlier, there's a new, on bleedingcool.com, there was a thing about how, and this happens a lot, actually, that toy lines spoil movies.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, like, you know, the pictures of the Bane prototype toy were out there before Bane was actually out there.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the look of Batman's various things and the tumbler bike and whatnot and the helicopter, the bat. was out there in toy form before. And likewise, the Twilicorn, and, and I think like the Helicarrier from Avengers, which when I saw in the trailer, just made me go, "Oh my god! Oh,
that's so cool! That's like, so cool!
Are this going underwater? Nope.
Yeah. Oh my god!
I'm like, oh man, airship boner." Kind of like the thing from Doctor Who. What was it called?
It was the unit helicarrier.
It was unit.
The name of the ship was the Valiant.
Yeah, the unit sky carrier or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The master.
Doctor Who did a damn good job of realizing that, like before Avengers came out, you know, like the CG on that looked really good.
Yeah. But the Avengers helicarrier has been around since like
2000. Oh, I know it's been around, but it hadn't been like realized in real life, kind of in a live action sense like that. So awesome.
The Super Bowl ad for Iron Man 3 was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, where he comes up and he's kind of staring at the
extended
camera.
Look trailer. He stares at you for like 30 seconds.
Yes. But that looks good. Iron Man, always get a kick out of it. Robert Downey Jr., fucking perfect for that role.
Oh, man, that dude, like, turned his life around.
I'm really happy for him, actually. It's so silly. It seems weird to say that about someone that I don't know personally, but I had seen him in movies, like, practically all my life, and thought he was cool in other shit, and that he had, like, all the drug problems and everything like that. And I actually feel really happy for him that he has totally turned his life around. And now he's like back on top again. You know, he's a superstar. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he is now, you know, the face of Iron Man.
Yeah.
Tony
Stark.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, he's perfect for that part.
And like, you know, Sam Jackson is now the face of
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that in the Ultimate line,
They've changed Nick Fury to look like Sam, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, Nick Fury was drawn to look like Sam because the guy who was doing it initially wasn't really good at doing characters, but he could do like celebrities. So he drew so slowly, but surely they kind of merged.
Huh.
But I think they changed Nick Fury around again. He's a white dude.
Okay.
Once more.
Because he was always a white dude with hair, and then he was black and bald. It's like, that's not a slow merge.
The movie universe.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of interesting. But it's got Star Trek Into Darkness.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, just ridiculously British name. Of course,
I'm better than you at everything, but they still haven't said who he is.
So his character name has been officially listed as John Harrison, but of course, the rumor mill and the widely speculated thing is that he's Khan, and that will be that. I mean, and I think that's what they're doing. I mean, he looks human, but he clearly has enhanced physical strength, considering he's beating the shit out of Spock in one of the behind-the-scenes things. And Vulcans are supposed to be X amount of percentages, X times stronger than human beings.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like old Spock. It's like Spock's a young guy and he's in shape, you know. But, I mean, it's Zachary Quinto and Benedict Cumberbatch. I just want him to stop fighting and start making out. In that scene, that would be awesome.
That'd be funny.
Because Zach Quinto, kind of hot.
Kind of gay.
And gay. So, which is a great combination. Yeah.
Right? He's like, I'm going to mind meld.
Yeah, this is how Siler mind melds. Fucking open up your head.
You're going to
read your mind by sticking my fingers into your brain.
Yeah.
Making squishy sounds.
Are you
going to
eat my brain? Don't be ridiculous.
That'd be gross.
R.I.P. Heroes.
He was one of the best things about Heroes.
Yeah.
And what was neat about that was you got to see his amazing acting range. Because the writers were retarded and had no idea what to do with Siler. So he got to be schizophrenic and be a different character like every week. But yeah. Hey, he was a good actor, so he pulled it off.
Yeah. Speaking of brains.
Where are you going with this?
Oh, I've been...
This is a zombie movie.
No, actually, there was a zombie movie called Warm Bodies. It's a zombie romantic comedy.
When's Walking Dead coming back?
I don't know. It's really not my thing.
Oh, okay.
But no, I've been reading Uncanny Avengers, mm-hmm. which is another team-up book on the Avengers line. You've got Scarlet Witch, Captain America, Wolverine, Thor, Rogue, mm-hmm. and Havoc. It's like a weird-ass combo.
Really? Yeah, that's like...
Well, this all takes
X-Factor, X-Men, Avengers, okay.
And, this all takes place after the AVX, Avengers vs. X-Men thing, where...
I'm so out of the loop on mainstream comics.
That's the thing. Avengers vs. X-Men was this really long 14, 15, 16 thing. They've compiled it into one $75 tome.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But it's $75, but it combines pretty much all of AVX and the side stories in it. It's just, you could kill a man with it.
Oh, they need to do that for Age of Apocalypse. But actually put it in the order that you should be reading in.
That'd
be great.
They're doing that for like an Iron Man compilation. It's like 700 pages and $200.
Fuck.
It is just massive tome.
It's like a fucking glossy phone book at that point.
Yeah, and it's hardcover.
Oh, I bet it's hardcover. It'd need to be to hold together, probably.
But no, I've been reading that, and like part of the storyline is Red Skull. There's a clone of him. Well, okay, after AVX, Cyclops, possessed by the Phoenix Force, kills Charles Xavier. And you're just like,
ugh. Yeah, because the last I heard, Scott Summers was dead. So apparently he's come back to life at some point between when I stopped paying attention
and now. Well, of course. And so Uncanny Avengers takes off with that. The Red Skull, super Nazi, has a clone, wakes up 2013 after the AVX crisis. Then proceeds to steal Charles Xavier's corpse and transplant. Oh,
God, he's gonna fuck it.
No, he's going to transplant part of his brain into his head
so that to gain his
telepathic ability.
If that works,
and it does,
it shouldn't work. No, just no.
It's a comic book.
I don't care.
I picked up the initial one because it was a number one. Might be interesting. And it's going really retarded places really fast. And I'm like, oh no, why? Like, he has this guy on his team called Honest John who can... He has thought influencing abilities and the ability to appear as your ideal leader.
Okay.
So, like, to a black family, it appears like the president is black or Asian for an Asian family, or white to a white family. To Thor, he appears as Odin.
Yeah.
And.
So, a black family, he appears as Colonel Sanders.
and the thing is, white
family.
At this point.
I don't know. He's white,
and this all takes place after the Scarlet Witch depowered and killed 95% of all mutants.
Okay.
After
was that during the crisis?
This happened before the crisis, so this is one of those things that happened a few years ago. Basically, when Marvel was like, "Fuck, we've got too many supers running around.
We gotta kill some bitches."
Well, remember Final Crisis?
No.
It happened in the 80s. They wiped out a bunch of their superheroes. It was the modern iteration thereof. And it's like, okay, there's now these few Marvel, but basically you have the Red Skull with Charles Xavier's superpowers inciting statewide riots in New York and pogroms against the any mutants or people, but like random people are getting murdered because of it, and oh, it's fucked up. I'm like, you, this comic just went from zero to stupid in three issues.
So two feelings right now. A, I remember why I stopped reading mainstream comics. B, I want to break my iPad and slit my wrist with the ragged screen.
Yeah. It's an odd juxtaposition because I, like, the other comics I was reading at the time, Ghostbusters is consistently good. Mm-hmm. It reached issue 13 and I don't think got renewed any further. I should,
you know, look. What the best comics are? The ones that have a finite end. The one where it's like, you know what? I am going to tell a story in 60 issues or whatever. Yeah. And then they get to issue 60 and fucking story is done. And it's wrapped up in a satisfactory way.
And then they do something new.
And then they do something like Preacher. Have you ever read Preacher? Mm-hmm. I love Preacher. And I bought it at a time it had already been running for a long time. So I went back and I bought all the trades. And I read up to the point where it was being released monthly. And I got the last few issues monthly. I came in near the end. But the fact that Preacher had the same writer, the same artist, and the same cover artist for its entire run, and they knew that they were just going to tell the story and then stop. That's why it was so good,
I think. Yeah. Like, the end, isn't it like the end of it, they're at a shuttle launch pad, and, you know, it's the last two human survivors going off to some space colony or something.
I need to find those trades and put them on my bookshelves, I think, because,
and I find it, like, the one thing that the character is all mortally wounded, mm-hmm. and he beseeches the people to throw away the Bible they had carried with them. It's like, don't let this infect the universe.
I remember he had the Word of God power and his gun. Or maybe it was
something else. I don't know.
Yeah,
that was just one of those Vertigo comics. I'm like, yeah.
I remember really enjoying it, like all the way through the run. But you know, and I understand why you have to have comics that run to 700 issues. You know, I mean, shit going.
Spider-Man just did.
Yeah, they're keeping shit going since the 60s. That's cool and all. They constantly have to reimagine them and stuff like that, but. Like, just some of the superhero comics, they have they've dropped so many plot threads because their writers have changed so many times.
Oh, man, fucking Spider-Man.
I remember when I was reading comics heavily, and I stopped because the artwork was getting consistently shittier, and they would rotate writers out on X-Men, like, every 3 or 4 months. And even on Wolverine, like, for years, Larry Hama wrote Wolverine for like the first 10 years or something like that. And then he stopped. And then they hit a point where they just kept changing writers. And it was like, there was this really cool, promising storyline. And Logan finds a clue. And it's like, oh, new writer next month. Oh, we're not talking about that anymore. You know, we're just fucking going a completely different direction now. And then the artwork starts to suck. Wolverine looked like he was melting in every issue just because it was just so ill-defined. I mean, you know, are those claws or spaghetti strands? I can't tell. It's all fucked up. You know,
yeah, it's like, how do they look? They're not consistent.
And you know what? At that point, I'm just like, let me just take out my fucking Chris Claremont miniseries from the 80s, and I'll read that, and I'm done with buying new ones.
Yeah. And that's the thing with comics right now. It's like, I really enjoy them.
Uh-huh.
I like what IDW is doing with a lot of their side series.
Yeah, they have pretty good art.
And going back to it, the My Little Pony comic, it's a huge seller and is driving new people into the stores.
Yeah. I've heard people bitching about the artwork on ponies, and I was like, I thought it was pretty good.
It is.
And I've seen people bitching about the artwork in the Doctor Who comics. I was like, I kind of enjoyed the Doctor Who comics that I've bought.
The style, I mean, it's a very cartooning style. And if you don't like it, then, well, fuck you. So, I mean, your opinion's just as valid as anyone else's.
Yeah. the less, I hate to sound like some kind of fucking comic hipster, but the less mainstream, the less popular comics seem to have better artwork and have their shit more together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, IDW is not exactly way underground shit, and neither is Dark Horse, but they're not the big two.
Yeah, they don't have 50 iterations of Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, and like, look at Granville, you know, a Dark Horse. It's the one guy writing and drawing it, and the artwork is consistently good.
Yeah.
Because it is the one dude. And, you know, he's very integrated the story and the artwork because he's doing it all himself. You know, Black Sat, every volume, yeah, takes like 2 fucking years to make. But every panel is fucking watercolored.
Yeah, I mean, you know?
It's not just shit out on a monthly basis.
Yeah, and but I mean, I have actually, I went up to Keith's Comics, right? Mm-hmm. It's the one up on Trinity and Midway here.
Yeah.
Closest local shop that doesn't involve me crossing 635 and going to Atlas.
Yeah.
Because Atlas is a lot bigger. But
I haven't been to Atlas. I mean, I've been to Lone Star and I've been to Keith's once.
Atlas Comics is at Forest and Webb Chapel.
So it's over by the movie theater?
It's over by the movie theater.
It must be new then. I never saw
it. No, man, they've been around.
Really?
Huh. Okay. Yeah, it's in like where there's CC's and whatever, and there's like a restaurant and supply company.
Yeah, I've eaten at that CC's back in the day.
Yeah, Atlas Comics, it's right over there.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh, all
right. Owner name is the same as mine. Old dude, been around forever, has a bunch of art in the walls and stuff. They host stuff. Went there for last free comic book day. Ended up spending $100.
That's how they get you, man. Well, first taste is free.
Oh, I was here. I was there for other stuff too.
Then after that, you're fucking sucking dick for Howard the Duck Comics.
Oh man, not again. But I went up to Keith's and I asked, and I noticed that in addition to obviously carrying the IDW Pony comic, right?
Yeah.
They also had, I had a couple brushables and some of the blind bags on pegs, and they had some of the trading cards mixed in with all their. It's a very space limited store.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty compact. Oh man, you know what fucking side your bread is buttered on if you own such a geeky thing as a comic book shop.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you keep up with Hot Tot. Unless you're Walt Flanagan, then you order 5 copies of My Little Pony and have to deal with pissed off people because you didn't get enough of them.
I saw comics as a pretty fun show usually. And there's sometimes they're talking about shit that I'm like, I don't care about.
You know, I listened to Tell Him Steve Dave. I have not listened to I Sell Comics.
Yeah.
I need to do that.
It's one of those things where it's like it's produced and it's on a regular basis and I'll listen to it. They're pretty funny.
Yeah. Apparently they talk about everything but comics.
Well, they talk about a lot of stuff around comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they are owners. So they, you know, talk about, well, the shit that their business is about.
Right, yeah.
But I spoke briefly with, I'm going to assume, the owner's wife of Keith's Comics, about seeing a spike in diversity and new people coming in because of Pony, for one, the Pony comic, but also for some of like the movies. And she's like, we've been seeing a big uptick that, you know, this particular comic is bringing other people in that wouldn't normally go to a comic shop. That we have this stuff here because people can come to a comic shop and purchase their My Little Pony brushables, get a blind bag or two, and pick up their X-Men, Spider-Man, and My Little Pony comic.
Not have to hide their shame sneaking into Toys R Us.
Or... Yeah. or Walmart, or you don't have to go near the pink aisle.
Right.
And
it's radioactive.
And she was real happy that it's... And she's also like, it's a cute comic. I like it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So... it's good to see that, you know, comics is not the big industry it used to be.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, really. I mean, since the 90s, man, it's taken a huge downturn. And even now, ponies is a real outlier in this.
Oh, super outlier.
Because floppies are not selling floppies being single issue Saddle Stitch comics. They are not selling like they used to. Trade paperbacks are kind of doing okay, which I can totally understand, because these days, like with the Doctor Who ones, I am much more inclined to wait for all six issues of that miniseries, whatever, to be released and then just buying the trade for like $25.
Yeah.
And sit in one session and reading it and not having to wait a month for each part. I don't think it's not all digital comics, because this started long before you could buy comics on an iPad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a certain commitment. It requires you to go back again and again and again to the well on the floppies, I guess. And I admit, I really like TPBs because I can read a full story arc in one go, and or at least a part of an arc. Mm-hmm. But then even then, after a while, they go out of print. So God forbid you find an older comic that you really like. Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Finding the remainder of that. I mean, and the thing is, like, even Marvel with their Digital Comics Limited, mm-hmm. it's everything is 2 years or older mm-hmm. is on there. So if it was somehow more recent, you're out of luck.
Huh. You know what else does okay are one-shots. Because it's like issue one of everything sells really well because it's in issue one. And people go and grab it because, ooh, something new. And hey, it's an issue one.
What got me to pick up Uncanny Avengers. Yeah,
maybe it'll be worth a fortune in 5 years. Spoiler, it won't.
No.
But readership drops for each subsequent issue.
Yeah, basically. So you find your core people.
You know, you find your core people. You know, maybe it'll hit a stride. It'll build up an audience again, but whatever. But one-shots will do okay. You deliver one story in 32 or 48 pages or something mm-hmm. like that. Bam. That's good. You're done.
Actually. So, Comixology.
Yeah.
Going back to that. There was their top tens for the week.
Uh-huh.
Or, I'm going to guess, for February. Let me see. No, this week. So, right now, number in Great Britain, X-Men's number one. Injustice, Superior Spider-Man, Canada, X-Men's number one. U.S., Iron Man Volume 5. X-Men. So, all new X-Men's like fucking hot shit right now. Number 7. Mm-hmm. Avengers is going. Superior Spider-Man. New Avengers. You know what's not on here? Uncanny Avengers. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you go down. Like, even the Philippines is like all new X-Men, number 7. France has X-Men, number 7. Avengers, number 5. You know, it's certainly still going.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
the Marvel, DC, X titles, shit, are still going to do really well.
Yeah. What the fuck? So, all new X-Men number 7, 49 pesos. I guess. I don't know.
That seems it remarkably
says,
low.
It says $49. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. But what's funny is that in Japan and Israel, mm-hmm. Well, in Japan, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 3 was the number 2 selling top comic in Japan.
Huh.
And with, of course, Superior Spider-Man number 3 showing up as number 1 with all new X-Men in number 8. And in Israel, mm-hmm. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 3, number 1. Number 2 was number 3. Number issue 1 was number 4.
So they love it in Israel, I guess. Yep. It's because Rarity's Jewish. There's a cultural
connection. Oh, totally. There. She loves gems. I love gems. What's the difference? He's family. Look at the horn. I can tell she's Jewish.
Oh, God. Christmas Hansa Kwanzaa.
Oh man, we could totally do a comics podcast.
Except I'm completely out of the loop. I mean, I publish my own comics, but I'm like,
yeah,
I'm so out of the loop on what's going on with the rest of the industry right now. You know, yeah, I could tell you when Radio Comics last comic came out, because that was just like 2 months ago. Oh, I need to pick up some of those.
Yeah, too. There's still doing stuff, right?
Yeah. Genus Male 12 came out at FC in January.
Okay.
And I stopped by and said hi and stuff like that. But I'm like, we shipped our stuff this year because we flew out there. So I didn't want to pick up any additional merchandise that I can pick up a month later when I see Ellen again at Furry Fiesta.
Yep.
Because then I could just throw it in the back of my car and drive it home.
Yeah.
So I will pick up.
We'll be working with her some too.
Yeah, it's going to be
so cool. Liberty from Hell.
Sounds familiar.
Is a comic. So it's now digital live.
Mm.
But they've been around since 96.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And it is crazy in a way. So Radio Comics, I was picking up issues of Radio Comics produced Furlough back when it was like in the 60s. And like at Akon 14. And it is kind of mind blowing and kind of not that some of the stuff that's advertised back then is still going now.
Uh-huh.
Like Bureau of Man Investigation seems to still be going.
By the way, you go to Radio Comics website. They have turned a lot of their older older printed comics into web comics.
Nice.
So you can read Havoc Inc. online as a web comic.
That never finished, did it?
No, it never brought out the last issue. But is it Eben and May?
Yeah.
Bureau of Man Investigation.
That, I mean, Eben and May. That was going
Trouble Express. There's like all their.
That
old
was all
stuff.
Furlough in the anthology.
Yep.
I have so many copies, so many issues of Furlough.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a full-size long box that is just, it's Furlough and Mangafile and all these Radio and Act Arctic Press stuff.
Yeah.
Gold Digger.
The back-in-the-day stuff. But I mean,
I have like Gold Digger Color in issue 4. Actually, I found a copy of issue 1, complete with the mail this in and win Gold Digger for life.
I remember you telling me about that. I was like, oh, you should totally mail it in, fuck with them. Yeah.
Be like, hey.
You owe me some comics.
Well, no, it was like it was a contest. I should like show up at Akon and have the guy sign it.
So I remember like Radio Comics stuff. I gotta say a lot of my furry origin gotta come from Radio Comics, you know? So I remember, because Furlough was like borderline mainstream at the time. This was like the late 90s, and they were in like my local comic shop, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I literally picked it up off the rack, added it to my pull. And the ad in the end of one of the issues was for Havoc Inc.,
And was like, then you saw him.
Yes.
The ringtail.
First time I saw Chester was in the ad for Havoc Inc. in the back of a Furlough. And I was like, oh, she looks cute. Little did I know. But started reading Havoc Inc. And
so, speaking of that, I found Havoc Inc. issue 4. I think it was 4. Where they're rescuing the mouse girl from the ninja castle. For the first issue, I thought Chester was a girl.
Yeah.
Until she said, my daddies are going to come kick your ass. And I was like, what?
There's some point in issue 1, it becomes clear that Chester's a dude. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's a guy. Okay. And then
there's
later on
dude.
In the same comic, he is like hugging Deck as they're on the horse and like really cuddling him. And I'm like, oh, there are a couple. Oh, I don't have a problem with this. And this was like before I was really out, but I was kind of like, this is really cool. I'm totally straight. I'm straight. So this is how like old people like me have the slow realization about their gender or their sexuality. I get in some ways I envy people that figure shit out for themselves earlier in life.
Shit.
And other times I don't, because then they're like, ah, you got to deal with that when you're a teenager. And
yeah,
that's a pain in the ass.
So I found the article that I'm, nope, click it. The book that I was talking about. Okay.
What was this? Liberty from Hell?
No, this is going back to the Marvel stuff.
Oh, okay.
Free Comic Book Day is coming up too. I need to find what that is.
So I want to throw something out right quick while you're looking up shit. There is another borderline pseudo-furry comic company. I'm not sure if they self-identify as a furry company or not, but it's Angry Viking Press. Mm-hmm. They picked up Shantae Howard's Extinctioners, I know that, and I think they do a couple of other Anthro titles. But right now they are trying to get, basically the way Diamond, the comic distributor, works, you have to get a certain number of orders from comic shops for your titles.
Yeah.
And if they don't hit that minimum, Diamond doesn't list you in previews anymore for that comic, which is like, previews is the big magazine that goes to all these comic shops that all the comic shop owners ordered her stock from. So if you're not in Diamond, you're really kind of fucked. And Diamond controls like the minimum orders. They've kept pushing it up in the last couple of years. They've really done a great job of fucking over every small and independent comic press out there.
Yeah.
They really only care about four things right now: Marvel, DC, Image, and Dark Horse.
Yep.
I know it's fucked over Radio Comics, and basically Angry Viking is on the borderline right now of being fucked over, and they know that because they basically put it out there to be like, pre-orders on this book determine the future of this company, and we will be financially fucked if we get kicked out of previews for not hitting enough pre-orders. So go to Graveyard Greg's journal on Fur Affinity. He has a copy paste of the original journal announcement and a link to where you can go find out about this new comic that they're pushing. I'm not really familiar with the comic at all or anything, but if you are familiar with Angry Viking Press or you give a shit about them, try to keep them in business, just putting it out there, go to Graveyard Greg's journal on Fur Affinity. It has the details on there, because I'd hate to see another fucking small press get fucked over by Diamond, basically. And it's irritating, because there used to be other distributors, and up until a couple years ago, there was another distributor of only independent comics, and it went bust as well, which really sucks.
Mm-hmm. So the book that I was referring to, the $200 one, it is called Wolverine, the Adamantium Collection.
Uh-huh.
It is 11.5 by 15.5. So it's a coffee table book.
Yeah, that's
weighs
big.
16 pounds.
Fuck.
And contains 720 pages of material from characters, most notable authors, including Chris Claremont, Frank Miller, Barry Windsor-Smith, Warren Ellis, Adam Kubert, Jason Aaron, Chris Bacalow, and assorted single-issue stories by Larry Hama, Dave Cockrums, Jim Lee, and others. Wow. And there is a photo of a woman holding this book,
uh-huh.
And it goes from, you know, the bottom of her chest to the above her nose.
Holy fuck.
And has this crazy-ass cover of, you know, Wolverine with all these villains behind him. There's Magneto.
And uh-huh. And it's $200, you said?
Yeah. Oh, fuck, what was the her nails? Lady Deathstrike?
Lady Deathstrike, yeah.
Yeah, and the Red Dude, Omega Red.
Omega Red, right.
Silver Samurai, the Hulk.
Sabretooth, probably.
Yeah, Sabretooth's prominent. Mystique, a couple dudes I don't recognize.
Deadpool, maybe?
No. There's a dude that has a blue hood and a dude with a mohawk. And then there's a bunch of ninjas.
Mm.
So, I don't know who those two guys are, but I know the rest of them are.
Mm-hmm. That is a big fucking book.
Yeah.
Man, no cockroach would be beyond your power with a book like that around.
They're dubbing it the Mighty Marvel format.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
there's some coffee tables you could toss that on and it will fucking collapse.
Well, I got this little $10 IKEA thing right here.
Oh, it's pretty sturdy. You don't live in Florida. It's not like everything is termite ridden.
No, thankfully not.
That's a hell of a comic book, man. You know, yeah. Oh, what did you spend? $200? Wow, what'd you spend it on? A comic book. Just the one? Yeah.
I thought Toy Fair was this weekend. Oh.
Which one? There's like 8 million of them. Because, God, you were telling me about the Nuremberg Toy Fair or something was recently, too.
Yeah, there was the Nuremberg Toy Fair, which was last weekend, and I think the Toy Fair is this weekend, but this one's saying there's a next week.
Well, there was something announced this weekend about Hasbro's new IP for teenage girls based on ponies.
But then, here's apparently they're making a 1966 Batman figure with the Batmobile.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So they're doing 6-inch in scale Batmobile. There'll be 6-inch versions of the season 1 and season 3 actor Frank Gorshin, mm-hmm. a Penguin Victor, and the light with likeness of actor Burgess Meredith.
Burgess. Yes.
So that's kind of cool.
The only thing I ever saw Burgess Meredith in was G.I. Joe the movie. He plays this fucking big monster thing from Cobra La. You ever seen a movie? G.I. Joe the movie.
Yeah, the cartoon one?
Yeah, the cartoon one.
Long ass time ago.
That was a fucking crazy movie. That was just like, oh, the show is great up until... And then the movie, and whoa, what the fuck are you doing, son? Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have a toy company like Hasbro, and then they license out their shit, and they're like, hey, we have these crazy new toys. You have to include it in your storyline. So now they have to include Serpentor in their comic and their cartoon, and... Twilight has wings and a wedding, and she's marrying G.I. Joe. And wait, and Optimus Prime is officiating the ceremony.
What the fuck?
At the end, he transforms into an alicorn
and rolls out.
It's an alicorn with wheels.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Thanks, M.A. Larson.
He has a spoiler made of wings.
And his bumper is covered in horns.
Yes. Fuck yeah, man.
So
it's metal. It's pink, but it's still metal.
It's pink metal.
That's right.
So I guess we should throw out our ad.
Oh, shit. Right. Yeah. So the Optimus Prime dildo.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to go look at this.
Transforms into a screaming orgasm.
Yeah. I don't actually know how long we've been talking.
Star screaming.
But it's 10:41.
Oh, okay.
So we've been at this for a while. So I should look.
So by the way, listeners, this week's episode of Notcast has a slightly different format. It's called Savin and Fuzz Give No Fucks.
Yeah.
And because Shiva's not here and we're just like, you know, we got a handful of emails. We'll just hold them over for next week. We'll have our discussion then about artists and writers.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting discussion, and I'd like Shiva to be a part of it, being that she's the only artist among us.
Yep.
So we just decided that, yeah, we're just going to kind of shoot the shit about some geek stuff and what's going on in furry and in our lives. And
in general, just kind of shoot the shit because people seem to enjoy it when it's just us hanging around chatting about the stuff we care about.
Yeah, it's like our version of Smodcast. It's... Fudcast. No, Savin Fuzz.
Fuzz.
Fuzz. No, that's all right.
Cast. Whatever.
Sodomy.
Smith. Yes. Mosier. Savin Fuzzwolf.
Yeah.
Fuzz. Let's see. Yes. So, hey, there's the. This. This is very. So, never mind that one.
He is apparently frightening himself.
Well, it's the Red Hearts glass dildo. It's a glass dildo with little red heart shapes, and I'm thinking...
It's the only thing that can kill Iron Man.
What?
I don't know.
Also, one thing that I want to point out there is that We have a deal on Adam Mail now.
Which may or may not work.
Well, the thing is, they don't give us a coupon code.
Uh-huh.
We have to put the banner on our site, which is fine. But if you're running an ad blocker, you can't see it. It's the same deal as AdamandEve.com. It's the same company as AdamandEve.com.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Adam Mail, and you have to use the code or the click through the banner, which is annoying.
Hmm.
Because we'd much prefer to say that you can use the coupon code not at both Adam and Eve and AdamMail.com, but that's not the case. You can totally use not at Adam and Eve, but Adam Mail.
That's really weird, because I think Adam Mail has section to enter a coupon code, but mm-hmm. It's really strange that they wouldn't enable us to do that.
Yeah, I guess I should, like, email them and be like, all right, look, you know, because we have a really big gay clientele, and we'd love to use the coupon code on both sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's the deal? Hey, man.
Well, let's see, they have anal trainers and stuff. I'm trying to find something that looks like I would stick up my discerning anus.
And it won't just spit it out like, this is beneath me.
Don't think that'll work, but I will see. That might work. Let's see. Cart.
Oh, this scintillating conversation Savern's live browsing on air here.
That's the thing. You know, I need to. Well, we've been shooting the shit for so long, I'm kind of like, oh, well, I should look and see what, you know, is available.
Mm-hmm.
Because last week we had those mesh shorts, and I hope people liked them.
Yeah, those looked pretty hot. I would love to see somebody wear one and show up at a con and be like, hey, I ordered these from AdamandEve.com, and I'll be like, that is pretty ballin'. That I can see your balls, and that makes me happy.
Because this one, I think, is actually probably on the cusp of what will actually get the discount.
Huh, that's really weird. Like, there's a question in the FAQ about, can you email people, like friends, family, and customers, the affiliate links and banners? And they have a the terms and conditions specifically prohibit using the Adam Mail name or promotion of our products via email.
Oh. Well,
that's interesting.
There's a $70 deal that gives a 25% discount. Let's go back. That's the thing. It's like, still, you can totally let's find some gay porn.
Yes, let's.
Let's see.
Which side are you on?
Huh. So, on their DVDs, They have lesbian. They don't have gay.
Hmm. This is on AdamandEve.com?
Yeah.
Sad face.
Sad face indeed.
Well, we might have some lesbian listeners. And the bisexuals might like to see two chicks, you know, going clam to clam.
Two chicks at the same time.
Yep. Well, most lesbian porn is two chicks at the same time.
Wow. All right, well, we'll do a lesbian DVD.
All right.
Because we're super professional up in here.
Okay. Rug Munching Volume 7.
I'm looking for something that has a...
It smells like fresh vagina in here. That's because you're looking at Adam and Eve's all-new lesbian section. These vaginas are the freshest. Don't smell like no two-day-old tuna fish in here, Jack. This is just all brand new, fresh. Ain't no pearls up in this bitch either. These clams ain't irritated. They're smooth and shaved fresh and mighty pretty. Make like a home crafter with this hot scissoring action. Okay, Savard, read the real... Panther's threatening to throw shit at me.
Don't throw pieces of that. They might break.
Don't throw pieces of my heart out. Oh, hey, thank you. He threw candy at me. It's all good.
Okay.
Because I'm fat.
That's all right. So, here's something for the lesbian and girl-on-girl enjoyers. Has a 3-star review. Okay. It's a DVD. Watch it. Get off. Be done. Lol. With a 4-star review of definitely watchable.
The actors were present. The camera appeared to be on when this was filmed.
Nobody seemed like they were on drugs during this. 3 stars. So right now, it is Hot Cherry Pies number 6. Following in the storage addiction of Hot Cherry Pies 1 through 5, this one is actually a prequel where the girls doesn't actually have a story. It's a 12.
Damn it!
It's a 12 scene DVD.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 fucking hours of fucking.
Hot cherry pie.
Yeah.
But I want the Whataburger hot lemon pie.
Too bad. $20, $19.95, but with our coupon code, not.
That's CLIT. Oh, KNOT. My bad.
That brings it down to $10.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get you free shipping. And,
wouldn't it be crazy if girls had knots, too?
Yes, it
like
would.
Like, all of a sudden, their inside of the vagina swell with knots, and you can't get your cock out. And you're like, oh, God, it's like being stuck in one of those rooms with the walls that move and squash you flat. Or their clit just expands to, like, 10 times its size.
Like a hyena?
Yeah, totally. Okay.
So, anyways, Hot Cherry Pie is number 6. It's on sale. It's in stock.
How much
was
it again?
Use our coupon code NOT, and you get it for basically 66% off. Because it's normally $30. It's on sale for $20, but with our coupon code, it's 10.
Sweet.
You don't get anything extra with. You get the free shipping, but you also get 4 hours of lesbian porn and
physical.
Come
on, guys. $10, even if you're gay, it's worth $10 just to test your sexuality and make sure if you're really sure. About the cock or not.
And if you are, just put mute it and put on Yakety Sax in the background and play it at 2x speed. Alright, so there's that. AdamandEve.com, coupon code NOT. Buy yourself some porn and get off.
That's not just scissoring action, now it's bandsaw action at that speed.
Woo! Oh, jeez.
That is an interesting expression on Panther's face.
It's an expression.
It's the I might be having an aneurysm kind of expression.
So, I think that about does it for the week. Given that it's like almost 11 o'clock.
Anything else? Any other important earth or world shattering events this week? It feels like some shit happened in the news, but I can't put a fucking life of me remember what.
Let's see. Oh, I can look at FARC and see what's blown up.
You know, I've never been to FARC.
It's a news aggregator.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there's this crazy-ass cop in California.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And no doubt that shit's crazy. There's also, like, a really crazy snowstorm going on in Northeast right now, so we hope everybody is, you know, careful and stay safe and all that.
Apparently there's an overweight seal in England.
God, even wildlife is getting fat. It's a fucking obesity epidemic.
Yep. Officials want to build a 75-mile path to the Everglades so joggers and cyclists have easy access to the wildlife without having to use their cars. I think that's more that wildlife will have easy access to people because they're not in their cars.
Oh my God, the gators will love that. It's a gator feeding program, basically. Yep.
Let's see. The secret message told by flowers. Wife donates her kidney to her husband.
Is there any cool Illuminati shit going on that we can laugh at?
Oh, man. There's been some crazy fucking shit on, like, Right Wing Watch, yeah.
Student sex alleged at preschool.
That's a really fucked up story right there. So a 5-year-old girl was going down on 2 little boys, and I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on in these kids' lives?
It's video games. It's all video games. No.
It's like, well, the school, the preschool,
uh-huh.
This happened at is shut down because of it. They're just like, fuck it, we're done.
You know, I give up on humanity. This generation is lost. They're going down on each other. They're only 5. I just don't even.
Oh, it's writingwatch.org. Let's see. There was somebody where Brian Fisher, I think, said the full moon made Satan and is when Satan uses his power to take over crazy people. Obama's the Antichrist.
Oh, that's old news. I read that on a Louisiana bathroom wall years ago.
Gay rights leads to discrimination against heterosexuals. That makes sense.
Because they can't get gay married.
Satan has twisted Beyonce to use for his kingdom.
Wait, Beyonce?
Yes, did you not know that she was part of the Illuminati and her display was nothing more than an elaborate slap in the face to God?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to be slapped in the face by that ass, but, you know.
Especially when she does that little thing and boop, 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 all the copies pop out. Aw, shit. Hologram orgy. Aw, man, they're not real. let's see. There's another guy, Glenn Beck's TV, talking about how armed school children protect school children from armed shooters.
They want to arm the children now, too?
Well, that's why they said, you know, school shootings didn't happen in the 1800s because kids carried their rifles to school because they had to walk to school through the country where there were wolves and rabid dogs and alligators. And insert carnivorous thing, snakes, you know.
So, I mean, I was amazed that the NRA suggested more guns as the solution to this by having armed guards. And now Glenn Beck has been like, that's not going far enough. We have to arm the children, too. I think a little of my brain just leaked out of my ear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about your headphones.
It's okay. They're not expensive.
Oh, all right.
They're only like $25.
We can burn them along with my faith in humanity.
It's like I follow a number of gay blogs. Joe My God and Good As You, stuff like that. And it's that kind of keep up with some of the nonsense.
See, I don't follow a lot of blogs and stuff. I rely on you for all my information.
Well, I don't follow, like, the mainstream news. I read, you know, FARC is about as close to a real news aggregator.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's an important story, it'll end up on there. Right. Otherwise, it's the wacky shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if it's a real story, it'll pop up there. And I'll go over to CNN and see whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like, all right, Colorado, civil union bill advanced.
Cool.
Gay marriage bill in Illinois is gone.
Gay marriage and weed, man. Colorado and Washington. Fuck yeah!
You know, it's a big push. The late PFLAG founder, Jeanine Manfred, to receive Presidential Citizen's Medal.
Oh, snap. That's awesome.
She died last month at 92. She proved the power of a single person to transform the world. She paved the way for us to speak out for what is right, uniting a unique parent, family, and ally voice with the voice of LGBT people everywhere.
Oh, man. Fucking Obama, man. That honoring GLBT activists. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that he came out with this pro-gay marriage stance. And he got reelected because now he can be like, I give no fucks, and he can actually say what's on his mind, you know, and not, you know, be kicked out of office or some shit.
I'm president for the next 4 years. Suck my nuts. So PFLAG issued a statement.
I would love a second term president ever to actually say that. It'd be great.
When Jeanine Manfred publicly stood up for her gay son in 72, she had no idea that her actions would spark a movement that would change the lives of so many individuals and families. It started out as a simple act of love, but Jeanine's legacy lives on, and straight allies continue to stand alongside their LGBT loved ones, united by their collective belief in a better and more equal tomorrow. Her voice has been joined by millions of others who have raised their voices and will continue to do so in support of acceptance, fairness, and equality. I was able to share the news of this honor with my mom before she left us, and I only wish the president could have seen the amazing smile that spread across her face, said Suzanne Manfred Shawn, daughter of the late Jeanine Manfred. My family is deeply touched by this honor, and to represent the PFLAG family values of... Oh, fuck, I get a button.
You know what she didn't found, though?
Of love and acceptance.
PFAB. Parents and Friends of Bronies. Because if her son had been a brony, she would have been like, fuck you, get out of my house.
Yes, truly. Well, because, you know, Bronies are like Jews in World War II, except the Jews only had one Hitler, and he's dead. Oh, I'm getting abused.
It's so much worse for the Bronies than it was for the Jews, apparently.
Now, admit that that's...
11 million Bronies were butthurt in the 4chan apocalypse holocaust.
No, God. No, that was in the fake documentary.
The World Health Organization has dropped millions of gallons of lotion to soothe the butthurt.
Panther was abusing me.
Ironically, with your My Little Pony comic.
Yeah. Issue 3. Out today. No, that was a line from the fake documentary that this one guy did. It was all animated, but it was animated in, like, Flash and then in Gmod.
I haven't seen that parody yet. I've heard of it. I've heard that it's funny. You're totally showing it to me.
I will show it to you after the show. Because it's really fucking funny. Because the guy who made it told nobody about the project.
Right.
Until it was ready to go.
Yeah.
And then he was telling people that he got an early copy
of the real
of the real documentary.
Right.
And fooled a whole bunch of people, but the people that were fooled were greatly amused.
Does anybody actually think it was real?
People thought it was real because it was right around the same release date.
And yeah, but they... I mean, after they watched it.
Oh, no.
Damn it. I was really hoping that, like, some people would be really fooled. Like, that wasn't at all what I expected.
Oh, it's like the last, like, little last comment. It's like, seriously, who would actually make a documentary about bronies? What the hell?
You need to drop a link to that in the show notes.
Okay.
So, next week, I'm assuming we'll do a show next week.
We'll do a show.
Before Fiesta.
Week before Fiesta.
Week after that is our live show at Fiesta.
I'll talk about Valentine's.
Single Awareness Day.
Oh, I'm gonna slap some bitches.
You know the thing I hate most about Valentine's Day? Is people bitching about how much they hate Valentine's Day.
You know what I like about Valentine's Day? Cheap chocolate the day after.
And spoken, you know, like a true commitment to American obesity.
America! Fuck yeah!
River chocolate. That's actually the why I like Easter. Because Cadbury's cream eggs.
Oh, yeah.
My God. It's nothing but fucking sugar is just shoved in my food pussy. Oh.
I mean, me and Panther will go out and do stuff on Valentine's, maybe go see a movie. It's a thing, but, you know.
Yeah, ever since, like, Tyrone and I have lived together and we see each other all the time and express our love to each other daily, we really kind of give no fucks about Valentine's Day. No, not expressing our love in that way. You know, just a kiss here and there, you know. Some fondling.
I wish
you're gonna make me late for work. Ah!
I wish I knew what that meant. Dear. I only get abuse. I get smacked with comic books and
those are Panther kisses.
Oh. So that's what about these bruises? What are these bruises?
They're hickeys.
Oh.
Tyrone and I have also determined that badger kisses are little bites. It's affectionate nibbling.
So, yeah. Next week, Shiva will hopefully be back. We'll talk about writing and stuff and have more emails. And people will be like, what the fuck? Why did you guys go off script and just do a show of you shooting this shit? That was funny. Do it again.
Actually, yeah, I wouldn't mind some feedback about this episode. I mean, do you like this kind of thing? Because we might do it more often. Because yeah. I'd like to do some more kind of off the beaten track recording, you know, of just general shit.
It's fun to mix it up.
So throw out our contact info there.
All right.
Email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. The best email address in the world.
Yup.
Fuck the haters.
You can find us on Twitter at Notcast. You can find us on...
For Affinity at Notcast.
You can go to our website, notcast.com.
Or foxstuffers.com.
And see our ad from adammail.com. And follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake.
And follow me at fuzzwolf2000. And if you want... to hear about the goings-on of Fur Planet with 100% less Fuzzwolf bullshit, you can follow the @FurPlanet Twitter account instead.
For real. Upcoming cons, we've got Furry Fiesta in like 2 fucking weeks, holy shit.
Ermagerd! Yeah, that's gonna be a fun con. I am unfortunately working the Friday of the con, but...
Yeah,
you know,
do you have a dedicated army of minions at this
point? Tyrone and Buck and Zia will be there to help run the table, so we are all good. And I'll be there the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, now that you've got all the your authors working the table for you, you don't need me anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're good at promoting their own shit. And they also promote other people's shit, so it works out well.
I was a perfectly good salesman.
We could just fuck off and do what we want now. It's great.
Okay.
Actually, no. I gotta schmooze. I gotta go.
Oh, I thought you were gonna be like, actually, no, you're shit. Oh.
No, I didn't say that.
No, I thought you were going to. It was like,
oh, no.
I was
no,
like,
no.
I was an all right salesman.
It's okay, dude. I was thinking it, but I wasn't gonna say it.
Oh.
Oh, snap. Oh, and I will be dealing again at FWA next month, March. In Atlanta, Georgia. And I'll have 3 tables there. And Yeah, Kit, Kyle, and Blotch, and Lucas will all be there, so hopefully I'll hang out with some of those folks, maybe have a couple of nice dinners and everything.
Get laid.
Get paid and laid. Well, I'll get paid, because I'll be dealing, you know, the getting laid part, you know, TBD, you know, we'll see. So, on that note, we'll see you guys next week. Good night.
And big balls.
All right. All right, let's throw the fork in this bitch. It's done.